Blog Talk Radio.
Chuck's on the Shelly and Chuck Show on a Wednesday night. Yes, 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 motivational Wednesday night. Woohoo! We're over the hump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm here and I have an addition to my family. Not only do I have one little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, I now have a little furball number two, little kitten named Rocky Balboa. And I'll be talking about both of them together, but thank goodness they are finally coming along together. I go up a mountain, I come down, and I have a cat. Well, anyway, I am so honored to have this guest on my show once again tonight because, you know, I'm a mama cosplayer. Well, way back in the day before it even had a name. And further ado, to let you know that I didn't even know, I just recently had found a little while ago that my guest tonight, he's a serviceman in the Navy, which I want to break through a couple of stereotypes tonight. I do have a special hour. I'll be doing promos and stuff after my guest. But the other thing that I want to break through a couple of stereotypes tonight, the first one is that a lot of people tend to think that anybody that's a bodybuilder or works out to achieve a certain body mass tends to think that, you know, a lot of people do steroids. And this is another thing that I want to do with people, bringing them that do work out, that actually do a clean lift, clean working out. So this is another thing that I'll be discussing a little bit tonight. Now, the cool thing is, too, another thing that you hear about, you know, with the cosplayers, anything with comic book and stuff, you know, you hear about nerds and, you know, geeks and stuff like that. Another stereotype I want to break through. Not everybody that does cosplay, like, lives in their parents' basements and stuff. So this is a couple things that I'm very actually want to discuss tonight with my guest, Christopher Cho, and I'm going to bring him on. And ladies and gentlemen, I will talk about the promos afterwards. So without further ado, I think my guest is in here waiting patiently. So give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Shelley. It's Chris.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show tonight. Thank you for being on my show.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited, and I wanted so much to catch up before we get on to the cool cosplay stuff. I wanted to first start talking about, you know, like with working out and such, because there's a couple of things that I wanted to break through some stereotypes. And the first thing is, which I actually did see something today, that personally, one of my nephews, right, he went to, like, you know, he went to go work out in his building. He had a son with him, and I guess someone, you know, his son was over there not even doing anything, and he was working out, and he's kind of getting to be a big dude. And I think for some reason, I do not know why, because for me personally, working out in gym, I've always worked out with the guys and stuff, with the weights and stuff, people feel very intimidated. And another thing I wanted to talk about, you know, working out in gyms with, you know, bodybuilders and people that work out, not everybody's a meathead, and not everybody, you know, that works out works with steroids and stuff. And I wanted to first touch base, you know, because I've seen pictures of you, which have gotten very much bigger. Now, how did you achieve with your workout and stuff? I mean, how do you get the muscles that you've been doing? Can you tell our audience members about that?
Sure. Well, actually, kind of going back into it, I actually got my biggest probably like in the first year that I started working out, because you know, when you're going from nothing to starting again, it's just a huge change. So that's probably when I gained the most of my weight. But over time, I'm pretty sure almost everyone has experienced where they just plateau and they just don't gain anything or anything like that. Times like when that happened, it's people kind of fall into a habit of kind of doing what they're always doing and expecting different results. But It kind of was a humbling experience for me, because I had to kind of actually stop what I was doing and then actually look at everything that I was doing and figure out why I wasn't gaining. And, you know, scientifically, unless you actually, you know, give your body some kind of stimulus or a reason to grow or a reason to change, it's not going to. So in essence, if you keep doing the same thing, you're just going to stay the same. So I found out that, yeah, I was lifting heavy and all that stuff, but I wasn't lifting heavier. So kind of looking at my program, I just had to kind of make some adjustments and realize that I got to actually work out a little bit harder and eat a little bit more and things like that. And over time, it's just little things like that. Just over time, like maybe a pound 1 year, maybe 2 pounds the next year, something like that. It just all added up eventually to where I'm at right now.
And, like, from looking at your pictures, because I think you're even taller than me. I'm, like, 5'8". How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
5'10". Because with what your pictures that you had showed me that I put in the queue, where people, when they click the queue there to see it and see a couple of your pictures, you look pretty big to me, and you're very tall. So that's another thing, too. I think I would assume, and I don't want to assume anything, I think someone that would be taller, it would take longer to put on muscle mass. I mean, do you agree with that?
I would say it would take longer for them to notice a difference. Because when you're shorter, a pound of muscle on someone who's 5'5 is going to go a long way as opposed to someone who's 6 feet tall. Because someone who's 6 feet tall probably has to gain 5 pounds just to equal that 1 pound that someone who's 5'5 gained. So I would say you could probably gain muscle at the same rate, but as far as how different you will look, for a tall person it's going to be a lot harder, I think. Because you'd have to add on more just to make it look like you've made a difference at all.
And then another thing, too, with what I was watching you, like, you were totally upside down. And the funny thing is, when you tend to think of, like, bodybuilders and they're kind of big, you know, you don't think that they're really that really flexible, but you did this thing, and I saw the video and the picture, and you're bent back, you're upside down, and your legs are back behind your head, and I'm like looking at it, I was like, do you have, like, are you getting more and more flexibility as you're lifting, or you actually, have you always been flexible like that?
Actually, I've never been flexible. It wasn't actually until maybe 2-3 years ago that I actually started working out to gain a little bit more flexibility. And it's really kind of something that, you know, people think that if you're bulky, you can't be flexible. You can't be – there's certain stereotypes that people kind of have in their head, so they kind of stick with it. But really, if you actually look online, there's actually plenty of people that are very flexible and very agile. I know that there's some people that used to do martial arts tricking, which is like the more acrobatic aspect where they do like all different types of wushu moves and flips and everything like that. And there's a guy who was my height but 240 pounds and just completely ripped, and he could still do all that stuff and flip and everything like that. So I think it's more just a matter of changing your mindset, because once you think you can do it, you actually try it out and you find that you actually can.
Mm-hmm. And when you're working out, and you know, for getting what you're working on, what do you do on a daily basis? I mean, I know that you have a full-time job, you work in the service, and when you go to work out, I mean, how much do you eat on a daily basis? How much protein do you intake? Because you must eat a lot, like constantly all the time, to get that muscle mass.
I do. I don't eat quite as much as people think. It's mostly, I would say on a, well, I guess that kind of is a lot compared to most people. I eat about 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. In my head, that's not that much, but I used to break it up into smaller meals, like meals a day and things like that, but just read some research recently that said that you really don't even need to, as long as you meet your calorie requirements and your protein requirements and all that. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you do it in one gigantic meal or six different meals, it all adds to the same thing. So just looking at that, I just basically have 3 meals a day now.
Okay. And then also, since we're friends on Facebook, right, I'm seeing that you're like, for me, I know everybody's body chemistry is different, and it's like I'm trying to get back. I've fallen off my own personal diet, but not a diet way to starve myself, and I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to get back to eat in a certain way. But the thing is, what I'm looking, maybe because your body chemistry is built different than mine, because I see you eating some muffins and I see you, your Nutella cheesecake thing that you post on them, like, oh, you're teasing everyone. And I'm sitting there going, now, when you're eating that sugar and stuff like that, what do you do to burn it off? Do you actually, if it's like so many calories or anything, do you do extra exercise than when you eat more sugar on a daily basis? Do you do more of a workout when you do that?
Actually, there's a nutrition principle I follow, which is it's an idea that there's no real such thing as bad food. It's a bad time to eat certain foods. So the diet I eat, I have burgers, I have cake, I have soda. I still eat all that, but I eat it at certain times so I can kind of maximize the nutrients of each meal, basically. Because, if, again, kind of going back to the science of it, protein builds muscle. Carbohydrates, sugars, whatever kind of starches are basically energy. And fats are basically kind of help slow down the digestion of food, also helps lubricate joints, things like that. What I do is I basically divide up my different meals into proteins and fats and proteins and carbohydrates. So basically what I would do is just have proteins and carbohydrates around workout times, because that's pretty much the time when I'm going to need energy, and also right afterwards. So that's the time, like maybe right after a workout, I'll have like maybe 2 cans of soda along with my protein shake or something like that. But throughout the rest of the day, I'm having like maybe a steak and like a salad or something like that. But it's nothing, so I don't really have to restrict myself too much, as long as I kind of follow these basic principles.
Oh, cool. And it just seemed like with you building up now, do you ever think, because I know that you're still in the service for a little while, do you ever think afterwards, I know you want to get into acting and such, do you ever think you ever want to be like a fitness model or anything? Do you ever think you'd want to do something like that?
You know, I've thought about that. Unfortunately, kind of I found out some dirty secrets about the industry. It's that even though I'm not saying everyone's on steroids, but I would say 90% of the people that you see on covers and things like that, whether they're lightweight or heavyweight or anything like that, they're on something. Because someone who's lighter than me can still have rounder muscles and things like that, but not necessarily they're taking steroids, but they're taking maybe some kind of like maybe some other drug to kind of give them that look. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any kind of real natural, because that I would say that's almost impossible these days for the magazine standards. So that's kind of why I'm avoiding it a little bit, because I know that if I were to try and do something like that, you know, the human nature is just, you know, you kind of want to do anything to win, and I really don't want to fall into that trap of having to take anything. So
yeah,
I'm going a different route and maybe trying to do it, you know, maybe show up my body through like costumes or something like that instead.
Yeah, that's a positive thing. But to let you know, like I have this other friend who's also a bodybuilder, and he's all clean.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Carlos, and he like he knows people that actually know they don't do steroid stuff. And I think that's something, you know, maybe it's something to think about. But I mean, it's still positive with the costumes. But maybe it's something where other people can start and make a path for other people to show you can work out. Maybe something they'll catch on without steroids. It's like it might be the other, like a different type where maybe there'll be a magazine that really likes you because you're really a good-looking guy. And I mean that all in respect. You know, you've got the whole package. You're very polite. You're very humble. You seem very intelligent. And I think you'd be someone that would be a very positive role model. Plus, you know, you served our country. I mean, how much more of a good package right there, Chris? I mean, seriously, people look up to you. I see your Facebook page. What's it called? What's the term, perv in your profile? I think that's the correct term.
Creep in my profile.
Yeah. Something like that. And I see people who are constantly on your Facebook page. They love your cosplayer costumes, which are incredible. I mean, the first one that I saw, I think it was your Aquaman costume. And I was, like, looking at it, and that's something that you made yourself. Is that correct? Didn't you start making your costumes?
Yes, that one I did make myself. Some of them I buy. Some of them I have other people make for me. But that one I did make myself.
That is incredible for Aquaman. I have never seen an Aquaman outfit like that. And I don't know, I mean, I haven't been to a Comic-Con convention for a while, for a couple of years, but that outfit is amazing. And I was like, the chain mail and stuff, I mean, it's got to weigh. The costume's going to weigh a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it weighed about 20 pounds. It was a little heavy.
Wow. So you got to work out within the costume.
Yeah, I didn't work out the days that I wore that because just walking around with that is a weight training cardio in itself.
And it's a beautiful color, the green. I mean, it just stands out. And when you wear it, because you're very tall, you get noticed. And I really think that people, they just love the costume because, well, once again, I don't think I've ever seen an Aquaman costume like that, especially someone that makes it themselves. That's a lot of credit right there. I mean, personally, I think so. And you could play Aquaman. I mean, why not?
I would love to.
Yeah, seriously? You know what? I could picture you doing some sort of superhero. And why could you not? I mean, look at you. Maybe you'd be like the first person. I mean, look at Dean Cain. Now, a lot of people, when I think people tend to forget that Dean Cain, he actually is Asian, right?
Yeah, I think he's half Japanese, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he actually played, you know, he played Superman, and I think people tend to forget it was a really great show. Why couldn't you play Aquaman? Do you know what I'm saying? It's something that, it is a new day and a new age, but of course people, they're going to be like, whoa, Aquaman, you know, blonde hair, blah, blah, blah. But why couldn't you play, you know, even an Aquaman brother or something like that? It's a new day, a new age, and I could see you playing Aquaman because you fill it out. I mean, I see women commenting on your Facebook page. You're a very attractive man. You fill out that costume really well. Factually, your costume, you fill out really, really well, and I think a lot of women like that. So I think you have a Facebook camera, you photograph really, really well, and, you know, I just can see you playing some sort of superhero, maybe not Aquaman. I mean, is there other people? What are your other costumes? I've seen them. Like, do you want to tell people other costumes that you have?
The other one I'm kind of known for is the Captain America one that I do. I think that's the one that you showed also, because again, with the chain mail and the scale mail, I made that one also. Like, my favorite hero out of, like, number one out of anyone without question has always been Captain America. So obviously that role's already taken now, so I don't know. Kind of looking into it though, I don't know. I think we had a talk, like, I think on Facebook one time about a certain Green Lantern who at least looked Asian, was an alien, but it was basically one of the more powerful Green Lanterns that we were talking about.
Yes, I can definitely see that. I remember now, when we were talking on Facebook, because you do have, you're very photogenic. I'm like, man, you don't take a bad picture at all. I'm like, I'm totally jealous, because I'm like looking at it, I'm like, and he's a comic book hero. You have the superhero quality, and I'm like, all right, we've got to somehow. I was like, as soon as you're out, you got to start auditioning. You got to start. Maybe somebody can do a fan film to show you as the Green Lantern, because even with fan films, people do really good jobs, and they got to cast you as that you know, Green Lantern. I can picture you doing that. You know?
I would love to. I mean, yeah, definitely. But, acting, honestly, though, is something I've never done before. So, you know what? A lot of things in my life I've never really known how to do, and I just kind of jumped right into it. And, yeah, actually, fitness and costumes are probably, like, primary examples of that, where no training whatsoever, I just kind of jumped right in. So, I don't know. Maybe acting can kind of do the same thing, too.
But it looks natural. You look natural. Like, you look very, very comfortable. And it's like, for me, if I got to pose this or it takes me a couple pitches, it looks like you just have a natural pose. When you put on a costume, maybe it's like you flip a switch. It's just you have this natural stance. You stand straight, tall. Like, I have a problem with posture. You're standing there. Your posture is great. The look on your face, it's just, you look very comfortable in the costumes. I think once you become a character, you can tell that the camera really does love you. And I'm not just saying this because you're on my show right now. If anybody looks at your pictures, I mean, man, the comments underneath your pictures, you kidding me? They're awesome. You know,
I will have to credit the military for the posture thing, because, you know, standing up straight like that, they've always taught me to, you know, stand up straight, shoulders back, chest out, you know, look tall, look confident, things like that. So I definitely do credit the military for that.
That's amazing. There has to be some way after, you know, you've got to somehow get more into that. And the other thing, too, is, like, you know, you hear people – you know, that do this stuff, that they live in their parents' basements. But another thing, too, you know, you're doing the cosplay, but you actually have a full-time job. So it's like you're totally different from the norm. So it's like breaking, because you're a good-looking guy. You know, you got a full-time job. You know, you seem very educated. You're intelligent, and you just have charisma. You really, is there other things that you want to do in your life after you get out? Like, you want to do acting, right?
I do want to do acting. I also, my dream job ever since, I think I would say high school, has been to be either a video game concept artist for, like, character design or anything like that, and also a comic book artist. Those have always been something creative like that has always been kind of in the top of my mind, is what I've always wanted to accomplish. So that's definitely something I'm going to try and pursue when I get out of the Navy also.
Because I've seen what your pictures, you draw a lot, and it's like, oh, I just did this a half hour ago. I'm like, Chris, is that all freehand? Are you doing that just like a pad and piece of paper? How are you drawing those drawings? Because they just blow me away. And I'm like, you are, like, really well talented, you know, drawings and stuff. I mean, how do you draw those pictures?
Honestly, I think it was just practice, because after a certain while, like, certain poses, certain ways to draw faces, it just comes really naturally. You know, it's just like, you know, like when you do martial arts or something like that, you do a kick over and over, and it's just, you don't even have to think about it. It just kind of happens. Or like certain katas, you just, like, know off the top of your head. Whenever I draw, it's kind of like that, just because I've been doing it for so long. It's just muscle memory. So it's just, a lot of it's fairly easy. Now, there are some areas in art that I think I still need to work on, like backgrounds and, like, landscapes and things like that. But, you know, it's stuff that I'm aware of, so I'm going to be trying to work on that a little bit more.
Yeah, amazing drawings and also sculptures. I think I've seen you did a sculpture of Thor and Wolverine, and you just, I mean, you're just working with your hands. I mean, do you look at a picture? I mean, is this coming to your head? I mean, how did you do those sculptures? They're amazing.
Actually, I don't even remember how I remember, those sculptures I just did because I see all these cool toys and sculptures out that I always wanted when I was younger, but realized they were way too expensive. So this is my way of, you know, I'll just make my own kind of thing. So, again, that's another thing I just kind of, like, jumped right into and just started doing out of nothing. But, yeah, that's basically just all freehand. A lot of it's, I would credit my drawing just because I knew how the figure works and what muscles go where and how a certain joint bends and things like that. So most of it was just freehand, though. So I was just kind of going off the top of my head.
Wow. Did you take any classes, or is this just something that comes natural to you?
I've taken only one art class, and that was for maybe a month. And I think that was when I was in high school. It was a figure drawing class, and that's it. Everything else I've learned on my own, though.
Wow. That's like, amazing. I just sit and see this stuff, and it's like, I'm drooling. Every time you draw something, it's like, I just see everything. It's just, he just did another drawing, and I'm floored. And something's big going to come out of this because, you know, I think everything matches together in your life with the costumes, the drawings, and your love and your passion where you really love it. So, like, when you go to you go to shows and do you make appearances? Because you're pretty much known to the cosplayer world. I mean, isn't there places you go, you kind of make appearances, right?
I do, basically conventions and stuff I go to. Like the next one I'm going to be big. Next one I'm going to go to is Philadelphia Wizard World. Going to be entering a contest over there. But yeah, basically it's just I post little progress pics of my costumes here and there, and just kind of show it off at conventions. It's always been just a fun thing for me though, because I think kind of with anything in life, if you take yourself too seriously and you no longer have fun with it, then it's going to show and going to be something that's going to be not enjoyable, and then you're just kind of phoning it in. And if it ever becomes that, that's when you know I'm probably going to stop. Or if you ever see me stop, that's probably why.
That's definitely a good philosophy. And I'm thinking, too, where, you know, another thing is maybe you can start, this is something because I know a lot of independent filmmakers, they end up just picking up a camera and start filming and learn how to edit themselves. And if it's something where if you're not fitting inside the box, maybe you can start making your own films once you get out of the service, because if you have the money to afford whatever, you know, cameras, that's good filming, and you start filming yourself. Or you hire someone, you know, you can buy your own equipment, but you could probably get someone to film it for you. You start networking, and then you can start making your own films. So that's another thing, too, because that's I know everything's money, but you just have that. I just see that, and believe me, I know I see a lot. I've watched a lot of independent films, but you really got that camera presence, you know, and I just feel like, you know, with a little bit of practice, you can make awesome films yourself.
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely something I kind of want to pursue. So I am moving back to California, so maybe that's something I do have a couple of friends that are in the film industry and things like that, so maybe I can talk with them and see how that works out, but we'll see what happens with that.
That's cool. If you're going to California, I'm thinking of moving out there myself. So it's like, you know, if you need like older women, like if you ever make a Wonder Woman, I'll be one of the older sisters. You know, like I'll definitely do it. I'll get all jacked up and stuff. I was like,
hey, yeah. You need a cast of women. Why not, right?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I know that I'm old. I'm not saying I'm old and decrepit or anything like that, but, you know, because I know, like, I've always loved Wonder Woman, and we've had this discussion before, and it's like, I know I'm older to, you know, I wouldn't be able to fit the Wonder Woman character anymore, because I am kind of tall, you know, the dark and stuff, but I can play other characters, and to do a whole cast and work alongside Wonder Woman, that would be awesome. And just to, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, it would just be a kick But and it's just like even in the stunt world, and I know a lot of people are stunts, so I think you've had some experience a little bit in martial arts. Is that correct?
Just a little bit. I took a little Taekwondo when I was in grade school, but lately, right now, I've been doing a little bit of just stuff that I've just been kind of watching people doing it and see if I can try it for myself. So I have a little bit of experience, but I'm a quick learner, if anything.
Because that would be good to add to your resume. I mean, I don't know if you'd ever think of doing your own stunts and such. I mean, well, to a point. But I think it's because nowadays it's like, well, I'm more into the stunt community and I love the martial arts, but I think I'm just kind of spoiled when I see the actors doing their own fight. I'm like, yeah, I get all excited. And I think it would give you a little bit of, that little extra edge if you could do a little bit of your own stunts and such. And it's like not to really lock you into this typical stereotype, oh, he's Asian, he does all this fight stuff, but, you know, because you have the look, you can pull off it in the costumes, and they're like, oh, he can do a little bit of this and that, and it's not all this kung fu, like stuff like that. But I think
right.
If you're playing a superhero and you're fighting, it's not all about kung fu and stuff, because watching some of the, I know that you're a big Batman, you know, person too, like myself, and I was looking at the last fight scene, in the film, not the last fight scene, but one of the fight scenes with Batman and I think, what is the bad guy's name? He had the mask on. I forget his name. I'm having a brain fart.
Bane.
Bane.
You having
and
a Bane?
What
yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I was looking at that, and I said, that fight was horrible. And I guess what had happened is it was the editing. And I'm looking to see where it's not all, like, martial arts and kung fu was just real raw fighting. And I'm going, why is it so, it just was like, it seemed like it was off a little bit and it could have been better. I think it had to do with the editing, because I was talking to the stunt community. I think the way they edited and stuff, and I just can picture you that they have the cameras on you and following you around, or you have like a GoPro camera on yourself and you're doing the fight scenes yourself. I think that would give you an extra edge, and people, fans that are into action fans, they would love you. They would like totally fall in love with you. So, you know, that's another thing to think about too. Learn some weapons or whatever, you know. That would be cool. I mean, just to see you, working with the guns and everything like that, if you know how to shoot guns and, you know, learn how to ride horses, all that crazy stuff. What?
Actually, no, what I've always been more interested is less like the traditional martial arts and more the, I wouldn't necessarily call it mixed martial arts, but I guess kind of more military, kind of like tactical kind of martial arts, where it's a little bit more just basic but to the point kind of thing. I mean, if I was to be an action star, I would probably be something more like a spy kind of thing, I would guess, more than anything, though.
Yeah, or maybe like a James Bond kind of fighting, you know, something
yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly, either that or like Jason Bourne or something like that.
Yeah, or G.I. Joe.
exactly that.
Yeah,
it kind of comes naturally a little bit with my – I did a little bit of training with that in the military, so it comes a little bit naturally to me.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. You got the full package. It's going to come natural, and it's like, I bet you, like, you probably have a good memory too, right?
I would say for the most part I do.
Yeah. You know what would be good? If you move back to California to get into it, maybe, like, for practice, like what I did, is I didn't start taking classes. I started doing dinner theater. And it's like, it's fun where, like, when I was doing, it was a comedy weddings, and I got paid. I just, you know, it came naturally. I don't know if it was part being Italian, but getting paid $25 an hour to do a show. And it's like on a Friday and Saturday night, and I did a couple of different shows, and that's how I learned about acting. That's how I really got into it, doing, you know, dinner theater, being thrown into it and standing on your feet doing improv. Which is I'm more of an improv actor than more of a script. I can do things you do right on the spot. So it's like, it's good to learn scripts, but also I think improv, that would probably be a good thing to get into because, hey, do it in the theater and get paid for it. It's a win-win situation, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, I have a friend who does improv, and I think you've seen the pictures of her. When I was in Superman, she was the Wonder Woman. She does a lot of improv, so I know a little bit about that.
Oh, the one that I think's awesome, right? When you, like, holding her or something, she was, like, dead or she passed out or something.
Yeah, the Hispanic Wonder Woman, yeah.
Yes, she's so beautiful. And I was like, man, you know, she was an awesome Wonder Woman. I was like, oh, God, she's gorgeous. If I was a man, yeah, I'd be asking out her on a date.
I'll be sure to tell her that. She'll appreciate it,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean that out of respect, because it's like, here I am, and I'm thinking, you know, with Wonder Woman, it's kind of hard to, like, talk to people about it, because Wonder Woman needs to have a little bit, besides being a size zero, and the thing is, you know, she's supposed to be kind of like Amazon, and I give credit to the girl that's from the Fast and the Furious, and a lot of people that are complaining about her, but she's been trying to very hard to train to get the muscle, and she's trying to get it on. She's already, like, she was already thin and tall to begin with, but like yourself, mm-hmm. working out, it takes a long time, so hopefully they're going to get her, you know, more, a little bit more bulked up, but I would really love to see, you know, Wonder Woman, you know, more muscular. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if
I would definitely
but,
do. Yeah, no, it with that, I actually talk about this constantly with people, but with her as Wonder Woman, granted she is fairly on the skinny side and it, things like that, but the more I thought about it, the more it really doesn't matter because, I'm pretty sure you would know, the camera, you can do a lot of tricks with cameras and make someone appear larger than they already are.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Batman movie, Bane was actually just about the same size, if not smaller, than Batman in real life. And the camera tricks just made him look gigantic. So I'm pretty sure with costuming and things like that, with the costumes and the outfit that she wears and the armor, I'm pretty sure she'll pull it off without a hitch. But when, and I hear this constantly, and I have to keep correcting people, but this is probably the most unpopular opinion, is when people say, oh, you know, she can bulk up, you know, like Christian Bale did it when he did from the Machinist and became all bulked up for Batman, where he gained something like 90 pounds in the course of like 6 months. They keep saying that. It's like, oh, yeah, the girl, Wonder Woman can do the exact same thing. And I have to keep telling people that is, people can gain weight, but they just really need to be realistic about it. And I think this kind of goes back to the whole bodybuilding thing too. It's, and I think this is also probably why people kind of fall into the whole steroid trap, is that people get really unrealistic expectations. And because of that, they kind of jump onto the whole steroid thing or something like that, because they can gain, get those gains and those results a lot faster. But, you know, I mean, for a woman to gain a pound of muscle takes way more effort than it would be for a guy to gain muscle. Would you agree?
Yeah, it does, because women's body chemistry is different than a man's body chemistry. It's definitely,
yeah.
And it, like, upper body strength, like men, this is what I do know, because I think I tend to feel it in my body. I'm not saying everybody's like this, but I tend to think that men have more upper body strength and women have more lower body strength, like legs. So we're built different. Not saying that a woman couldn't get it. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. just that I really think that men have more upper body strength. It's just that that's how we're built. Not that women can't get that way, but for myself, I do know that I have lower body strength is a lot stronger than my upper body strength. You know, even if I get
right.
the muscle, I can tell. You can feel it in your body, even when you don't work out, because I lost a lot of weight and I need to get, you know, more cut and more, you know, I want to get my own six-pack. But I do know, even feeling it, even sitting down, I know that my lower body is stronger than my upper body. So it would be kind of hotter in a certain amount of time, but I think that they push the filming back for, you know, with the Wonder Woman, I think it was what film, I think it's going to be released a year later.
It's
going to
be in 2016
film, right?
Now.
Well,
they already started filming. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not too worried about her portrayal of Wonder Woman. And I don't think this changes the pushback in the time is for necessarily her, but again, it's just people just need to be realistic. And, you know, someone expecting to gain 40 pounds in 6 months or even a year is just, you know, it's utterly impossible. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's very unrealistic if you're trying to do it naturally. And I actually read this interesting study because you know how bodybuilders always say eat more protein here and things like that constantly. Well, I do believe that you should eat a higher protein diet. But I don't necessarily believe that you should be eating the amounts that they're recommending, because I personally, because they recommend something like 1 gram per pound of body weight. So someone like me would have to eat 220 grams of protein. Well, I actually don't do that. I only eat something like 150 grams a day because the whole thing is that it's about what your body absorbs as opposed to how much you actually take in. Because someone actually put this realistically, 1 pound, well, it's a 2.2 pounds is 1 kilogram. So that's 1,000 grams. If your body absorbed 20 grams, it's something like 20 grams of protein a day from all the food that you eat in 1 year, you should be 300 pounds of muscle. And obviously that's not the case. So, you know, keeping things like that in mind, it's, even top-level bodybuilders can't even build. It's a gigantic feat for them if they gain, you know, 20 pounds in a year, and look at all the stuff that they're taking. You know, it's just it's the biggest thing that's always been bothering me. It's just the unrealistic expectations and this whole "I want it now" mentality that unfortunately our society has these days.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true, because everybody wants it fast, because we have you are speaking truth, because we have everything, fast foods, fast checkout, everything's fast, fast, fast. We want instant results. No one wants to work for it. I mean, look at what they can do, plastic surgery, Botox, everything. They can suck everything out and cut everything off. And even what I saw, and I was like, I kind of thought I was a little bit extreme. They're even doing things, and I was like, I would think that if you ever got punched or something or would erupt, like, they have implants where I've seen for guys, they were doing a six-pack implant, this hard, a plastic, and then also for their calves, they were doing this, and they were putting it in the back of their legs, and they were doing a six-pack, but they were doing it in their bodies. They were putting it in there so they didn't have to work out, and they got a six-pack from it. You look it up. Google it. After you're off the show, Google it. And it's really strange, and I'm like, I just can't picture that. I mean, I can't tell people what to do with their money, but to think for a six-pack to put something that hard, like, in your stomach, like, in that area, it's just very strange to me. Just look it up, and you'll be like, you'll freak out when you see this, and I was like, ew, that's, you know, I mean, women get breast implants, and, you know, you hear about these nip and tucks and all this stuff, but as far as implants with calf, and it's this hard thing, and then in the abs area and getting implants for abs, that's just, I don't know, that's just, that freaks me out a little bit, because I just...
Oh, no, that freaks me out, too. But
yeah,
it's a weird thing, because, again, kind of going back to the whole societal mentality of it, it's, if anything, I'm pretty sure the other natural bodybuilder that you would talk to, I'm pretty sure he would say the same thing. Fitness has taught him, and it has taught me, that to achieve a goal, it's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be really dang hard, but you have to have a plan. You have to make little goals to reach that gigantic goal. You have to work really hard at it, and it's going to take time, and you have to constantly keep at it. And that's how you achieve your goals. If anything, that is the one biggest thing I took away from all the fitness and the working out that I do, is the whole mental aspect of it that translates into, you know, the rest of my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, and that's another reason why I really wish people would work out, so they can see that the physical hard work that they put in actually translates into something tangible that they can actually see and feel. And, you know, it just kind of conditions their minds to thinking that, okay, so I have to work hard, but I can't achieve what I want.
So you should be a motivational speaker, because the thing is, On the internet, it's very hard to talk, and it's a very touchy subject because, you know, about people being overweight and obese, and it's like you try to be inspirational, but it's very sensitive, and it's easy to get people on the radio show and have people hear it because I think on the internet, the art of communication is totally lost, and people feel insulted, mm-hmm. but the way we're sitting here talking about it on the show, you're very, you know, you're like a motivational speaker to be able to help push. I think you know what I'm saying? You're welcome. I just can hear that in your voice. And I think you would be a very positive role model for a lot of people because you're given realistic goals. You know, you're not trying to pull a fast one and you're being real, but you're also, you have this kindness in your voice. And I think that's what people are looking for. You know, it's so, you know, because a lot of people, they don't have the money to go do liposuction. I know a lot of people want to do that and get the skin all cut off, but I think with what you're talking about, maybe you can do a page where you're like a motivational speaker and maybe talk more about fitness, you know, after you
get
out of
the surgery. Oh, yeah, definitely. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but in my, like how I got into fitness, I was actually extremely overweight. At one point, I was, I think, like 270 pounds. So, I mean, me personally, I had to lose 100 pounds and then work myself back up to where I'm at right now, which, you know, so if I love talking about this with people. I love getting people started because I know that once they talk to me, they know that I will not put them through something that I haven't tried myself. So, or at least that, you know, something that in my mind won't work because they can at least trust me in thinking that this guy actually, you know, backs up what he's saying by, you know, actually physically doing it himself. So, I don't know. I really wish, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but if people listen to my story and kind of realize what I did, because I lost all that weight in college when, you know, I didn't have that much money, and to show the people that you don't need to be rich or have a ton of money, you know, unlike what kind of society wants you to think. I got all that information for free off the internet because it's available. It's just a matter of just putting it into practice. And it's really just more about how bad do you actually want it and are you willing to, you know, make it a part of your life for the rest of your life, you know?
Wow. You are definitely a motivational speaker right there. I got it on the air and I'm like, definitely, damn, Chris, you're just, with what you're telling me, I think people can relate to that. I really do. And it's like, you sound like such a sweetheart, such, you know, motivational. You're just a very, like, round individual. And I think that's what people are looking for, more positive. I mean, looking out there in the mainstream media, and you see all this crazy stuff, and I don't want to go into detail. There's stuff that's going on with a couple of musicians that I keep seeing through Facebook, and I'm like, I don't care what happened, you know, whatever. I want to see more people like you in the media because that's, you're so positive. And that's what people need because they go through these hard times in life, and I think that, you know, that's why I like having you on my show, and I hope you can be on it again to talk about.
Oh, more, yeah, definitely.
You know, I would definitely, you know, so it, where are you making more appearances? Because I think the hour's almost up. I think it's almost 10 o'clock. So is there anything you can tell me about any of your appearances where people can actually go and meet you and such?
Oh, yeah, actually, if anyone's in the Virginia area, next week on Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be at the, it's called the Mega Nerd Garage Sale in the Virginia Beach area, and I'm actually going to be selling some artwork as well as helping to raise some funds for a local Comic-Con here. That's next weekend, next Saturday, May 24th. And June 21st through the 20th, I think it's the 18th through the 21st, I'll be in Philadelphia for Wizard World. And that's the other convention I'm going to be at. And I'm actually seeing someone now, and she's going to be going with me and dressing up to enter the contest with me also.
Oh, can you tell us what she's dressing up? I want to know. Can you tell us?
I can tell you guys. She and her roommate are going to be coming with me, and I'm going to be doing the Darkness. It's a comic book character. He basically has basically the powers of, you know, darkness and the underworld. And the girl that I'm seeing, she's going to be dressing up as the Magdalena, who is basically kind of like a descendant of the Christ line that holds the Spear of Destiny, is also a fighter. And then her roommate is going to be dressing up as someone who's called the Witchblade, which has a magical gauntlet that can... Yeah, so basically we're going to be dressing up as those three together to enter a contest in Wizard World.
Oh my gosh, you better take pictures. I want to see pictures.
There will be tons of pictures. I'm pretty sure of that.
You gotta send me an autographed picture, because I swear, I was like, I gotta get an autographed picture. I gotta send you my address or something. You've gotta send me an autographed picture. I mean, I definitely would love it, you know. And you can do it the Aquaman one or whatever, or Captain America. I don't care, but I want an autographed picture of you guys.
I'll get one and I'll send you one.
Cool! I'm so psyched. You just made my whole day.
I'm glad I did that.
Well, thank you, and I know you're a very busy guy. I hope to have you on my show again. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you as a superhero someday.
I hope so too, and like I said, I'm going to be working towards that and finding my goals and planning that out to get there. So, hopefully, I'll be talking to you next time from that side.
Oh, good, and thank you again, and just keep in touch. I'm looking forward to that picture, and you have a good night.
You too.
All righty. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. See, ladies and gentlemen, don't I get the coolest guest of all time on my show? Christopher, right there, he's going to be a future superhero. I bet you more than anything. Betsy, you heard it. That's right. It's going down the history. Christopher Cho. Yep. Watch it. Future superhero. He's got the whole package there. The ladies love him. He looks good in a superhero uniform. I mean, who knows? He could be the next new Captain America. Hey, don't call me crazy, because sometimes crazy does work. I'm going to be making a few announcements, but first I want to play a little bit of music. And the first one, it is actually called Found My Way, and that's by Kodiak, and I'll be right back.
Sonic Beast.
Telling me how to feel. I got a real body girl, so I'm done with the feel. Ex-jock, but I still jock her. I ain't ashamed, I kinda proud, she's my doctor. She fixed my heart when I couldn't get a beat to start. Without her, I wouldn't have a beating heart. It's unexplainable, baby, take my words apart. I used to speak, but now I seem to hardly talk. Hushed tones, I'm staring at a work of art. Cause she the best, she the sun, she the sky, yeah. She the moon, she the star, she my energy. I'm never tired, cause baby, you the best in here. I put it on my mama, y'all all I ever need. A winning lotto number, and 50 feels a green. One of the prettiest things that I've ever seen. Someone tell me I'm dreaming, cause I don't wanna leave. Birthday cake, I wanna make a wish, make it last forever. I know the good times fade, prepare for stormy weather. You my guiding light, and yeah, you're with forever. I can't predict, don't wanna fight the feeling. Yeah, everything I ever missed, everything I'm needing. Vampire attack, and yo, I guess I'm bleeding. I give her all for you, baby girl, there's no retreating. I'm on the front line, I'ma hold it down. Cause I'm the dude that wouldn't ever let you down. And if I ever did, I would apologize. Cause you know I'm not the mother guy.
been they catching my show. I got that glow, runway set, crew on autopilot, call my boys, man, I need me a wingman. Wait a minute, yo, I'm the whole plane. I'm kind of the shit, yo, so let me explain. This is that moment when the world don't listen. Just follow the music, the stairway to heaven. We pilots in here, yo, we pushing the limits. Yo, tell me you feel it, we higher than birds. Find me a shorty, cause I got them words. Never need a flashlight, I glow on my own. Cartier, baby, now I'm in the zone.
Going crazy, the way you move me, baby. on. This interior special. Eye contact and the lick of the lips. I'm over the hips. Got me about to trip like the clumsiest kid. Hate game and a bang of the chest. Cardi don't rest. Till I finesse the drop of the dress. Let the niggas see it cause you know I'm the best.
Thought that you had me, boy. Met you at the after party. Not gonna do nothing, boy.
When they mention the best, I kill songs, I'm ill, I'm built strong. I'm above most these rappers, I'm standing with stilts on. They see me still here and they ask if he's still on. Without a question, he's a legend, the skills are still strong. Need the boost to make it better, I can better the booth. I better other soldiers in the field like medical troops. I better the youth, the proof, I could never be you. I see my future real clear like I'm ahead of the truth. I'm so dope, they get addicted to me. So I don't write rhymes, I have to go prescription or free. I keep it hot, every drop, by any means necessary. You might be good, but consider me legendary.
Go, say what you want, corporate we start. You're witnessing a legend.
not trying to get low. I'm trying to stay high, trying to my damnedest to fly. The ground is too cold, the sun is so bright. I just want beautiful flight. Look down on the world, see it go by. Play with the melody right. Beautiful sounds, the memory gifts. I don't wanna forget none of this. I live in the moment, I live in the now. Trying to stay positive, you know my style. Stretch for the birds, this is the plan. Holding my 2-year-old's hand. Here's my life, here's my God. I don't need nothing but fam. Trying to live right, be a good dad. Promises I never had.
If I could fly away.
And that's a lie, you know, that's a truth talker. We all learn from our faults or pretend to. We all fall or stumble, but we hear you. One sign, one youth, are we there too? Everybody's scared of getting older. Wanna be remembered in this lifetime. It's a shame some go, never got time. It's a shame so bright, never got shine. I see the stars in the sky, but I'm not crying. They in a better place, grandma, Miriam, Wayne, Sarah, up in there, hear me sing. Keep on living, keep doing my thing. For everyone that we missed, there's a whole reason. I got a light in my heart and I keep on feeling.
If I could fly away.
Listen here,
Yo, this could be a chance, yo. This could be romance, yo. This could be the night, yeah.
I'm gonna finish off with the windows to the floor. From the center to the film, and I need a little more. It's a question that I crave.
Shelling and Chuck's at the Shelling and Chuck Show, and we have a little bit of time left, and I want to say thank you once again to Christopher Cho and best wishes with everything that he does. And a few announcements. As you know, I'm a Hollywood Board of Advisor for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, and I'm helping to raise money for this nonprofit organization, which they're actually by the way, if you hear a cat meowing, I once again got a new little kitten, and she's running around crazy, and that definitely, she's being ninja. You should be going to bed. Let's see if I can get her. What? What? Actually, it's a little boy. Hey, Rocky. What? Can't get him to meow when I want him to meow. Ah, you little stinker. And he's attacking me like a ninja. I've got to be careful about watching kung fu movies, because he actually watches them, and he bounces, and he goes, meh. He's looking at me right now. Get out of here, you little rat. Yes, he's attacking me right now. Cut that out. I'm actually trying to hold him right now. Stop that. Be a good boy. Be a good boy. Be a good boy, Rocky. You guys don't know, but yeah. Hey, what are you doing? Little kitty cat, you should be going to bed, but get out of here. He just jumped up on me. What are you doing? Be a good boy. Well, now I have two little furball co-hosts in Jackie Chan Kitty and Rocky Balboa. And Jackie, hello, Jackie. Hello, Kitty. Yes. Oh, yes. What's that little kitty doing? What's the little kitty doing? Yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, being all ninja-like. He's a good kitty. Well, anyway, to get back to the promos, I'm just bringing it up now. Well, the first one that I wanted to talk about, I'm bringing it up here. I'm actually moving around and opening up the site here. Once again, I am actually helping to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame. You can actually go to the website and check this out. Once again, it's a nonprofit organization. It's Falling for the Stars, Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame. And this is actually on the website, and it's about the museum. Hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, stunt legends of the movies including Yakima Canute, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Lonnie Rundell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984 dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is what the... Okay, hold on. That smack was the cat. She just knocked over... He just knocked over a painting here. Hold on for a second. Okay. Yes, he's doing quite a few things. So you guys don't see here in the studio, but the cat actually knocked something over here. Naughty kitty. Where you go, kitty? I'm in the middle of it, so will you get scared? Where'd you go? What are you doing? He ran into the shower. Come here. Mickey just scared himself. What? What are you doing, cat? Come here. It's okay. He's the one who knocked it over, and now he's like a chicken. Come here. Oh, well, you don't want to come out. It's okay, baby kitty. Well, to make that tax-deductible donation, what you want to do is right here on the page. You can go in and check out, it says here that currently the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame and mail to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner, J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R, at his email address. It says johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click on Falling for Stars, then Artist of the Stars and Stunt Stars and Legend. And you can check that out. Once again, you can go to there and find out everything about Falling for the Stars. Okay, and I want to bring up the next thing with the martial arts kid film. I'm actually going to bring this up the Kickstarter page. I'm actually looking in Kickstarter page. Hold on one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bringing it up right now. Okay. And I'm just bringing up. Okay, how do you do a search on this on the Kickstarter? Let's see, search projects. Okay, here we go. If this will allow me to bring it up. Marshall. Okay, here we go. And this is the Kickstarter. I'm actually going to post on my page right now and post to my Twitter page. And I'm just trying to tweet this to my page here. Okay, that I'm putting on Twitter right now. And it's actually on Kickstarter. It's the Martial Arts Kid. And 21 days to go, and there's $69,581, which split of $150,000 gold, is 21 days to go. And what this is about, the Martial Arts Kid, is a spectacular coming-of-age family action film that is founded in traditional and mixed martial arts. The Martial Arts Kids is going to be a classic coming-of-age movie for the whole family. It features important topics like class struggles, bullying, friendships, loyalty, responsibility, family, community, and even a sweet love story. The film will be partially shot in beautiful and sunny Florida and star the greatest ensemble of martial arts legend ever assembled anywhere ever. Hot cars, sunny beaches, epic battles, bad guys, and even some bad girls. Not since The Fast and the Furious has a movie screen had this much high-octane action. Your face will melt from the heat of the battles. This will be the greatest ensemble of real martial arts since Enter the Dragon and Force 5. Synopsis. When troubled teen Robbie moves to Cocoa Beach, Florida from Detroit after his grandmother has had enough of his antics, he soon realizes that everywhere he goes, there is somebody who doesn't want him to be happy. And in Cocoa Beach, this somebody is Bo Whitelaw, the toughest and most popular guy at the high school. When the moment gives Robbie a beatdown in front of Rena, the prettiest girl in school, we know Robbie's chances of living in a happy neighborhood are just not realistic. To help Robbie stand a chance of survival in a dangerous teen world, his estranged Aunt Cindy and Uncle Glenn, played by action legends Cynthia, Lady Dragon Rothrock, and Don the Dragon Wilson, are there to coach and train Robbie. Along the way, Robbie teams defensive skills that will give I'm half tired here. And it says, along the way, Robbie learns defensive skills that will give him a chance to defend himself. But will that be enough to protect himself from Bo in all-out epic battle? And will Robbie ever be the man in Rena's eyes? Find out when everything comes to a head in a final showdown that pits legends of traditional martial arts against MMA fighters in a battle you will have to see to believe. And it says here, where will the money go? We have some of the funding, yes, we're not paying pinches, but to make movie as high quality as it should be, we need your extra help. The producers have over 100 years of filmmaking experience between them, then utilizing Michael Baumgarten's past filmmaking successes at achieving high production value even on a low budget, Michael will create an on-screen world that gives the martial arts kids a combination of beauty, American life, and the grittiness of a sometimes dangerous world. We're also getting mega discounts on the equipment, locations, crew rates, and cast rates while putting the money on the screen by bringing in some of the biggest names in martial arts. And in the grand scheme, we're literally producing this entire movie for even less than one supporting actor on a hit sitcom that gets paid in a week. We're all cutting our rates because we really want to make the martial arts kid for our fellow martial artists around the world and for fans of action movies in general. We want to prove the value of names such as Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Lady Dragon Rothrock, and there is a true interest in real martial arts films with a message. Well, we can't do this without your help. Where will we shoot? Getting out of Los Angeles and filming many of the major exterior locations in Cocoa Beach, Florida, is a cinematographer's dream. The vibe of an authentic Florida beach town is unique and offers great production value opportunities. We will be featuring amazing sunrises, beautiful waters, a local zoo, and all of the local flavor that makes this Florida coast city a tourist destination. Fight choreography. When you want the best, you seek out the best. Our fight scene will be choreographed by veteran martial artist and stuntman James Wu. James has worked on Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon 4, The Last Samurai, Inception, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Battleship Tropic Thunder, Dark World, Showdown in Little Tokyo, and the TV series For the Crow. And you can actually check out, like I said, with Kickstarter, you can check this out. So they're almost there. It's, like I said, it's $150,000, so they have 21 days left to go. So if you want to see that, definitely check that out. So I'm trying to see, what was the other promo that I actually wanted to talk about? But let's see, I think that's everything there. And, like I've always said, you know, supported people in their dreams, you know, just like anybody else. If you have a dream, you definitely should go for it. So that's something that I always say. It's just like one step at a time. And thank you so much for the love and support. And I will have Grandmaster, let me make sure I'm bringing up the name correctly here. I want to make sure I'm saying it correctly. I try to pronounce it as best as I actually can. Give me one moment. I'm just bringing up his Facebook page. Grandmaster Kum Sung will be on my show this Sunday on Ninja Sunday. So you do not want to miss this. Do not want to miss this at all. So this is something that is really special to people that I get to actually, you know, talk with on my show. So it's very, I feel very, very honored that he will be actually coming on my show once again. And this is actually a quote from Master Kum Sung, which will be on my show on Sunday. And this is from his actual Facebook page, Master Grandmaster Kum Sung page. Bruce Lee said to me, never show your weakness. Ed Parker said to me, don't talk about it, show it. Chuck Norris said to me, live up to your expectation, your legacy. My mother said to me, never forget who you are and where you came from. No matter how long you live in America, you will always be Asian. So this is actually, you know, a quote from his page. And once again, I'm looking forward to having him on my show on Sunday. So very, 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 very excited. And once again, you know, all those that do have a dream out there, just remember, once again, it's all you. Just take baby steps. And I will be closing the show with Shine On with my friend Rick Deedham and his band Ancient Sage, which I will be getting more and more of their music on my show. And they're actually, you know, live in New Zealand. So here's to them and to everybody, Shine On. And I can't wait for Ninja Sunday. And thanks again, once again, for listening. Thank you, and have a good night.
Shine on me. Straight out of the 1920s, a goddess of the silver era. I fell in love with you. For we were introduced. Come on, baby, let's go and blow them all away. Shine on me. Shine on me.
gotta walk this way and tell me the truth.